His presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 You can be seated if you wish. Start with verse 1.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not.
Had no soul, even though Such a faithful God. The words of that song ring so true. He's faithful. Though in my mind I've questioned, and often I've failed to believe, He's remained faithful. Many times it's not till I look back and then I see His love and mercy. Yes. I see that He was faithful. Yes. When I didn't think He was there, when I didn't think things were working in my favor, I look back and realize, oh, He was there all along.
Yes.
He's been faithful. Can you just lift your hands and lift your voice?
I have questions.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's been faithful. Faithful.
Can it be more than just words to a song? Can it be a stanza of appreciation saying to the Lord, look back over my life and I see Your love and Your mercy.
Though in my heart I have questions,
we applaud the Lord for His faithfulness this morning. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before you're seated, if you have your Bible or would look up on the screen, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. One passage of scripture. First Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. In response to God's love and faithfulness, in response to what He's done for me, I should not feel it an obligation. I should feel it a privilege to endeavor to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. As a show, as a sign of my appreciation for what He's done for me, in response to His great love, endeavoring to walk in a way that is pleasing to God, and do it more and more, is something that should be for all of us. No matter what stage we are, no matter if we're new or we've been doing this for a while, continuing to abound more and more in a walk in relationship that is pleasing to God should be the desire of every born-again believer. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Simply entitled in our lesson this morning, A Life That Pleases God. We've heard the term, we've no doubt used it in teaching and preaching, but the term sanctification. Many people nowadays going to church don't hear much about this word or in regards to how it is applied to someone's life. They understand, they believe in positional sanctification, which we'll talk about here in a few, where someone is sanctified as a result of what Jesus has done for us. That we are sanctified through the sacrifice that He paid for us for our salvation. That we are able to be born again. We are sanctified through Him, and our position before God is that we are sanctified. However, in the heart of a true believer, those that truly believe and would act upon that faith, it's not enough just to be and have a positional sanctification. We want to implement in our lives and show in our daily living a practical sanctification where we are living in such a way that pleases God. If you look into your Bible, the words sanctify or sanctified, there are nearly 30 specific references to the subject of sanctification in the New Testament alone. Realizing that the New Testament was written to churches, born-again believers, much of the New Testament is written to those who are positionally sanctified. They have been sanctified through the Word of God. They have been sanctified through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and their position before God is that they are set apart. They are sanctified. But the Apostle Paul in his writings to the church is showing, he is exhorting, as Thessalonians says, by the Lord Jesus, that they are to walk in such a way that is pleasing to God. That they are endeavor to live their lives and more. In other words, day by day, that how I live today is in a greater effect than how I lived yesterday in regards to my desire to be pleasing unto God. So as we look into the study this morning, we understand the basic idea behind this word sanctified, or to sanctify, is simply, and I mentioned earlier, to set apart. To be, yes, different. Not different just for different sake, but different because we realize we belong to royalty. Set apart because we belong to a heavenly Father, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and therefore we are set apart and we are different as we draw closer to Him. As we endeavor to live our lives in such a way that is pleasing unto Him. And if we look into the New Testament, we will find that sanctification is addressed in the New Testament as in the sense of not only being born again through regeneration or sanctified through the new birth, but also in a sense where it occurs progressively as believers daily seek greater opportunity to live in the character of Christ. We are, and you'll hear this a lot in the teaching this morning, we are sanctified in who we are through Jesus Christ, but we are living in sanctification, or there is progressive sanctification. We are progressively being set apart and different from the rest of the world. Why? Because we do so in a way to show our appreciation to our Savior. To say in our lifestyle, in how we live and what we do, that we want to be pleasing unto God. That's why the passage where we read, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God." We've taught you. We've expressed unto you the principles and the precepts of the Word of God as to how you are to walk and to please God. These are the things we talked about on Wednesday night. These are the ordinances, or these are the teachings that designate and show God's divine design in living. And the more you do that, the more you are pleasing unto God. That's the reason why He sanctified you, so that you can live a sanctified life. That's the reason why He set you apart from the rest of the world through what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. And therefore, we ought to, the Bible says, give the more earnest heed. We must look at those things. We must look at the Word of God and endeavor to live our lives according to it. Hebrews chapter 10 probably gives a very good illustration of the difference between the instantaneous or the immediate sanctification through Jesus Christ and receiving Him, as opposed to, or not opposed, but in complementary, the progressive or ongoing aspects of sanctification. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 10 says, "By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ Jesus once for all." We are, because of what Jesus did, not in anything of ourselves. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. We understand it is only through Jesus Christ that any of us have access to Almighty God. It is only through His sacrifice and what He did for us that any of us have a positional sanctity before God. Otherwise, how could we stand in the presence of a holy, righteous God if not for the sanctification that comes through Jesus Christ? Our sin would require judgment. And we could not come into the presence of a holy God. So then how does sinful humanity approach the throne of grace? By a new and living way, which He has consecrated for us through Jesus Christ. We have positional sanctity. We are set apart through Jesus Christ, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. But then it also says in verse number 14, "For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." That through Jesus Christ, that's why we talk about coming before God and confessing our sins. For we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We come into the things of God, or into the house of God, and one of the purposes of coming together in the church is for us to continue to exhort and encourage one another to live a sanctified life. Now, I'm going to mess with your mind a little bit. We have the misconception sometimes that the church is the place or the institution that is utilized to save people. And in a sense, it is.
in a sense, that positional sanctification comes. But in reality, the church is for the body of believers, the place for us to come and work out and encourage one another and strengthen one another. Evangelism really should happen in the streets. Evangelism should really happen in our daily activities and in our socializing with other people and living and letting our light show so shine before men. Where we establish those relationships and we disciple people to come and here together we as a body of believers are perfected as we study the Word of God. As we respond to the preaching and the teaching. As we look into that perfect law of liberty and recognize changes need to be made. In that understanding, we should not ever look at church as a place that is one of those places of rules and requirements where we come and we have to learn this, and we should understand that church is a place where we can come and beautify our spirits, become more set apart. We can come and learn what is pleasing unto God and then endeavor to live that way in our daily lives. To go outside these walls in the areas where we work and the people that we rub shoulders with and live that life on a day-to-day basis. Obviously, the will of God was to provide sanctification once for all through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. But there is a difference, if you will, between that instantaneous positional sanctification practical, progressive, learning, endeavoring, growing sanctification that comes as our walk and relationship with God grows and matures. At the beginning, Paul makes no bones about it. 1 Corinthians 6:11 talks about all those that were wrong and did adulterers and all these different things that people were, these sinners. And he says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so in that understanding, we should come to church and raise our hands and lift our voice and say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm sanctified. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm justified. Now, let me go out there and live just as if I've never sinned. Let me go out there and live a life that is pleasing unto you. You see, maybe this is an easy way to explain it. When I am born again, I am born into royalty. I have become a son or daughter of God. I am born into royalty. And then from that point on, I'm learning what it is to live like royalty. I'm coming and I'm being taught. I'm coming and I'm understanding what it means to live a royal lifestyle. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That you should what? Show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He called us and He sanctified us, and now we're living. Now we're endeavoring to show forth the praises. My life is showing forth the praises. And so, yes, we are called to live in a way that pleases God. Look at what he said. His instructions were, he said, we exhort you by the word of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul said, it's not my opinion. I'm exhorting you by the word of the Lord Jesus that you endeavor to live a life that is pleasing unto him. Unfortunately, much of the teaching in today's world, even in the Christian realm, it's just about positional sanctification. It's just about that you're washed and those things are good. I'm not demeaning those things, but we also need to understand that the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And so faith without works is what? Dead, being alone. And so I must work. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Peter, after he preached on the day of Pentecost and said, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then he said, and with many other words, the Bible says, did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this perverse generation, from this generation that is walking away from God. How do I save myself from this generation that is walking away from God? I walk towards God. How do I walk towards God? I realize that I am royalty. I realize that I am born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And as royalty, as a child of the King, there is a certain way that I should live. So I endeavor to do that. One of the ways that we endeavor to live a life that abounds more and more into what is pleasing unto God is the understanding that as royalty, the royal blood in our veins, in His Spirit in our lives, we are empowered to live in dominion over our flesh. You see, if the only thing I propose and preach is about positional sanctification, then people truly don't understand what it means to live an overcoming life. They understand that they can overcome sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and I'm not demeaning that, and that's wonderful. But the power of God is much more than just positional sanctification, much more than just that instantaneous birth. If the only thing I ever preach is just, you know, you're born again and you're all well and good at that point in time, then how does anybody ever mature and grow? And what does church become? It becomes a spiritual daycare where we just come together and play. What we should want is the more I'm coming to church, I'm becoming educated on what it means to live a life that is pleasing unto God. And I'm not just learning how to stay within the lines as I color. Hello. I'm not just learning what blocks go in what areas. And I'm not just learning how to tie my shoes. I got to grow up into God. That's why Paul said, listen, I got to get you where I can feed you with meat because you're still on the bottle. You got to grow up. And so we need to understand this church should be we should see it as an institution of higher learning. It's not a spiritual daycare where we got a bunch of spiritual infants coming. We want those, and yes, we want them. It's a hospital that helps all from the time of their birth all the way through their life. And we help people get better. And we help people deal with diseases. And we help people understand what it means to live a healthy spiritual life. And it's an institution of higher learning. We're come and we're educated on how to live in dominion over our flesh. How to keep our flesh in subjection. Now, when it comes to understanding this, the Bible says there, if you read a few more verses in Thessalonians chapter number 4, Paul says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Talking about us, our vessel. We have this treasure, the Bible says, in earthen vessels. We have royal blood, and we have God's Spirit inside an earthen vessel. And so what we have to do, the Bible says, you have to learn how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. See, the Spirit empowers me to possess the flesh. Think about it. Not the other way around. If I'm letting my flesh possess my spirit, I got it backwards. If I'm letting my flesh dictate what I do and how I live, guess what? I can't walk in a way that's pleasing to God. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. I can't live after the flesh. I can't just do what I think to do. I can't just lean upon my own understanding. I can't. I've got to acknowledge Him and His power in my life. I've got to acknowledge that I am royalty, and as royalty, I should live set apart. I should live sanctified. I should live differently. Might I say it this way? Unfortunately, the more like the world the church becomes, the less sanctified we are. Hello. The less set apart we are. Doesn't mean we're not saved. Doesn't mean we don't have positional sanctification. It just means I'm not being the witness that He empowered me to be. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Really what it is, it's understanding that the power of God is inside my life to empower me to be a witness to the world in which I live. A witness how? A witness in the sense that I am set apart. In all manner of conversation, the Bible says. Not just in how I dress. Not just in how I talk. Not just in how I live, in all manner of conversation. In everything that I do. In my interaction with other people. In how I do business. In my ethics. In my morals. In how I perform at work. In whether or not I show up on time. Hello. Oh, he done started meddling. What? The understanding is I learn how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor so that what I'm doing, I don't want to bring shame to His name. I don't want people to say, oh, that person calls himself a Christian. I want people to understand that I live a life in such a way that they don't have to question. They don't have to wonder, is there something different about him? I live different every day of my life. And I consider it a badge of honor that I am a royalty. I consider it a wonderful thing. Not condescending. I don't look down at other people. I look up to God and say, Lord, I want to be pleasing unto you. How that affects all the other relationships doesn't matter as much to me as furthering this relationship, because I want this relationship to abound more and more. I want this relationship to grow. Great reality from that is the more and the greater this relationship becomes, the greater this relationship will be. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Think about it. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica. The church had previously been full of Gentiles who did not know God. They were idol worshipers. They served the flesh. They did whatever was pleasing unto them. They made gods for whatever they wanted. And then that's the way they worshiped. If they liked strong drink, well then they went and worshiped at this temple. That was a part of their worship. And they liked immorality, then they went to this temple. That was a part of the worship. And so that's what they lived. And so you think about what they were doing with their vessel, with their body. And how they were worshiping other gods with their body. Now the Apostle Paul said, listen, you need to understand, just because you have spiritual sanctification in relationship to what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, don't neglect the other part of that. Don't leave the other part undone. Understand that your vessel with which you used to worship and you used to just follow after your own lust and do whatever you wanted, now you've got to bring that vessel into subjection, and you've got to learn how to possess that vessel in sanctification and honor. You've got to learn how to set that vessel apart. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and in your body. That's what the Bible says. So we should endeavor in our daily living, in how we live our lives, to show forth that we are sanctified. Other things, as you read down through 1 Thessalonians 4, I won't take the time, but if you read verses 9 through 12, you'll see that they include things like honesty. Being honest. Minding one's own business. Hello. Even working to support oneself. The progressive nature of sanctification is again seen in the call for the believers to increase more and more in these things. Look at verse 10. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are at Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. I don't think you've ever made it. Press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Endeavor to live more and more. Other things the Apostle Paul pointed out in his letter to his young protege in the gospel, Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I told you earlier, he said even in the sense of work ethic. He said, 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. It's there. How do we possess our vessel in sanctification, even in the sense of our work ethic, how we live, what we do on a day-to-day basis? I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Probably one of the greatest characteristics of someone who is working in progressive sanctification. This is a segue to what I'm going to preach in the second session this morning. And the greatest example of what it means to truly be a believer and act out one's faith. John 13. But by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The greatest characteristic of the church has to be love. Has to be love. For God is love. And to truly present God to the world, I've got to be loving. The song years ago, I believe it was by Christian band DC Talk, Love is a Verb. Love is a verb. It's what we do. It's how we live. It's how I show. It's why Jesus said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Genuine faith, which is an internal matter, results in the transformation of one's life. And that transformation happens internally and externally. I got Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Doesn't just change the way I think. It changes the way I live. Changes the way I talk. Changes the way I interact with others. Lord, help us that we may live a life that is pleasing unto you. Understand the importance of coming together. Hearing your word, the importance of coming and understanding what it means and how I can better possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. How that I can better align my life with your design, God. The way you said would be beneficial not only to me individually, but to everyone around me collectively and to society as a whole. I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I thank you. I honor you. These altars are open. In the next few minutes, our classes will be returning.
I give you my soul. I live for you.
Here I am again, Jesus.